All right, just to introduce myself, as Lionel said, my name is Beverly, and for those of you who don't know me, I know a lot of you from my previous, our church in Frankston, but not some of the new people that are here that we've amalgamated with. So yeah, just wanted to let you know what happened to me with my testimony and how I came to know the Lord. So my background is Zimbabwean, and my mother's Zimbabwean, my father was Scottish, and born in Zimbabwe, grew up for about 8 years, and then my father died before we came here. My mum actually came here originally just on holidays to Australia and to visit a relative of hers who had had a baby, and so my mum just came here as it was a holiday, so she didn't intend to stay, but her cousin felt alone here and had no one apart from her husband and in-laws, so she begged my mum to stay, so it became a permanent thing. So she came back to Zimbabwe, she got my brother and I, and we came back here, and we lived in Tassie for about 8 years, where I met my best friend Jacqueline in primary school. We were both raised in religion, and she became my best friend from early on in our lives. In about 1990, I moved to Melbourne to finish high school here, and back then I was a typical young person with a social life and drinking and nightclubbing, as young people do typically. So, so continuing to go to church, to religious church, but in it all became having an increasing feeling of emptiness in my life, despite being religious and going every week religiously to church and, you know, religious practices and everything. So it wasn't helping. It wasn't helping me. So somewhere in there I developed OCD, which I don't know if many of you know what that is, but it's called obsessive compulsive disorder. I had the one where I had to continuously wash my hands in rituals. I can't tell you how long I had it for or when it actually began, but I know that it sort of crept up on me at the time I was studying microbiology and things like that. So I don't know whether the study of organisms and microbiology at that level fueled it, but just crept up on me. And before I know it, it was a full-blown issue for me. I wasn't diagnosed by a doctor, but I knew what it was. And so that's what my days were, ordered by rituals, hand-washing and so forth when I was at home. In amongst that, I always believed in God, of course. I went to church, but I'd cry out to God at night. I'd feel depressed. I'd feel trapped in a prison, particularly with the OCD, which, had a grip on me. Felt like I was going insane, and asked God questions like, why did you bother making me? Please, God, help me. I don't know who I am. And I just had the feeling I've just failed everything in life, but I'd say to God, don't let me fail your test, whatever that meant. I didn't know what that meant, but, you know, I came to realise that later as a Christian, that we all go through that, you know, stand before the Lord. So in that time, my best friend Jacqueline got saved, and she tried taking me to church, but I wouldn't go. And we used to argue about religion, and, you know, she'd challenge me with our beliefs, the church that we were both raised in. She'd challenge it with the Bible, because they never really encouraged you to open the Bible in, you know, religious churches. You weren't encouraged. It was whatever the leader would say, the priest would say. You know, you took that as gospel, and no one really opened the Bible. They didn't give, you know, they didn't put a weight on the scriptures, you know, as to it being important. It was more the word of what they taught in the church. So I found, I mean, I can look back now, but at the time, and I know it was the Holy Spirit now, but at the time he began to make me question my beliefs and ask myself questions like, what if it's all wrong and if I'm not pleasing God? So God started to surround me, apart from Jacqueline, with other Christians in my life. I met a girl at work, and she typified the scripture from Psalm 37:6 that said, he'll bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday sun. And I just saw her. She just had a great testimony, and it's like the Lord just shone through her, and, you know, that spoke to me as well. A cousin of mine also ended up getting involved with a religious group, and you know, they would come around and do Bible studies with us, and I would open up the scriptures and so forth. But I still, you know, didn't really surrender, didn't know, you know, that I had to surrender to the Lord. And somewhere in amongst that mix, I ended up meeting the father of my two girls, and I had my first daughter, Kristen. And God shut the door of a religion for me. The shame and guilt I felt out of having a child out of marriage meant that I was too afraid and probably too proud as well to go back to religious church. So, you know, the Lord fully shut the door on religion for me in that way. So I continued to meet up with this church group, which encouraged us to look at the Bible and to open up the scriptures. And I remember one day, one of the scriptures from Luke 6:46 really spoke to me, it cut to my heart. And it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And this revealed my religious hypocrisy, because I believed in the Lord, but obviously I wasn't obeying him. So, you know, it's just things like that. The Holy Spirit began working in me and drawing me to him. So eventually I went to church with my best friend. I can't remember what the sermon was that day that the preacher preached, but all I know is I felt like the words were speaking directly to me. And I went down and I prayed with someone. I felt so much joy that evening. And we went to another church for the evening service, and that's where I met Lionel and Suzanne. And it's like God's presence just flooded my life after that time, you know. And when you experience something you've never known, it's very real and very obvious. So, you know, having had the religion, I knew the difference now, because it's like the Lord's presence just burst into my life and the Bible came alive to me. You know, it would just, the scriptures would just jump out to me. They were alive and speaking to me, and I was experiencing daily the reality of the truth of the Bible. Early on in my Christian walk, maybe even a month or two, not long into my walk, the Lord started to reveal to me that he was going to heal me of the OCD. And the girl at work that I spoke to you about, she said to me, the Lord could heal you. And for someone who's never experienced the Lord or anything, that concept was so impossible to me. I just thought I'd live with this for the rest of my life and I'd cope with it and maybe have to go on medication or something for it, but I never dreamed that God could actually heal me. And then the Lord gave me a dream as well after that, and where he said to me directly that he would heal me. And also he gave me a scripture. So from James chapter 5, verse 16, the scripture jumped out to me, and I just knew it was the Lord talking to me about this situation. And he said, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So I rang Lionel and Suzanne with just this burst of faith that you do as a new Christian. You have so much faith in the word and just take it for what it says, and, you know. So I rang them up and we went over to their house and I confessed my sins to them, even though I'd already prayed with the Lord. That's what the scripture said to do. So I confessed everything I'd ever been involved in and everything from when I was young. And then the three of us just stood up and we prayed in their lounge room, and I felt the Lord touch me and heal me. And when I got home that evening, the OCD was gone. And that was 18 years ago. And I'm still healed of it. And God, I know God doesn't always do that for people. You know, sometimes we have issues over time, but I believe he does heal us over time as well. Because I still suffer certain things like anxiety, which I've suffered since I was 17 years old. But over time and with scripture and meditation and trusting God, it's eased over time, and, you know, his grace kicks in. And he doesn't deal with us as numbers, you know. He deals with us individually, and what he might do for one, he may not do for another, or he may do it differently. So we're all individual to him, and we're so precious, and he has a plan for each and every one of us that's tailor-made for us. So just anything, yeah, he can use for good. And that's what I found as well. So the other thing too, God began to challenge me at that time, was not being unequally yoked with a non-believer, because the father of my girls was a non-believer. He was in a cult, actually. And by the time I came to really realise that our relationship would not work because we were on different paths, to let him go, I had my second daughter, Kiana, and, you know, the Lord brought a division between us, and he actually closed the relationship, the door to that relationship, and it was very hard. And you know, I came to learn a lot of things over time, which was you can't save someone else, you can't change them. You can try to drag them to church and you try and, you know, help them, and but really it's God who saves, you know, and it's up to him. We can only just, you know, live for him and preach his word. So now I've been walking with the Lord for over 18 years, and through everything, he's been so good and faithful to me. And his tender, loving kindness is like nothing I've ever experienced on earth. It's been a difficult journey at times, but, you know, we all have our ups and downs as Christians, but through all of it, you know, God works it all for good. That's the thing with God. He recycles all the bad things and uses it for good. And I find that a great scripture that gives me hope is Philippians 1:6, and it says, "I am certain that God, who has begun this good work in you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." You know, because we often, or at least I do, often think to myself, I'm here when I should be here, and, you know, I'm doing this when I shouldn't be doing this, or I'm not doing what I should be. And, you know, sometimes condemnation sets in, but I just, you know, realize God is with us. He's the one who's begun the good work in us. He'll complete it. The scriptures say so. And we're his workmanship, and, you know, we just have to surrender and just go enjoy the ride that he takes us on. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this message. You're welcome to duplicate this message in its entirety for non-profit purposes. For more information and resources, visit cgc.org.au.